Always enjoy our conversations with Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Dan joins us now. Dan, good to talk with you again, and happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, Mike. Much appreciated.
All right. Let's talk about that port situation on the West Coast. Any improvement?
No. I hate to report, Mike, that it's actually gone the other direction. Earlier this summer, we were seeing some significant improvement in the right direction, but especially the last 6 or 8 weeks, we've seen it go the other way, and the congestion on the West Coast continues to compound, and we continue to have significant numbers of containers of not only beef and pork, but a lot of commodity products that are backed up.
And this impacts both exports and imports, right? Products coming in as well.
It does, and actually imports are a bit of the are compounding a little bit of the issue for the exports, because seasonally, as you get into late summer or into the fall, it's a peak season for imported products, especially as you get closer and closer to the holidays. So we knew this would happen. This is a normal trend, but with the situation that we were dealing with prior with the congestion and the fact that we really hadn't worked out of it yet, this is compounding and adding to the headaches that our exporters are dealing with on a daily basis.
So how has it impacted our meat exports? Has that slowed us considerably, caused big problems, or how would you describe it?
Well, I think the impact is that, well, two things. Number one is our exports are still on record pace. Especially on beef, but slightly ahead of last year's record on pork as well. So in that regard, the trend lines look good. But the point is that they could have been better. And we literally have thousands of containers that are backing up on the West Coast. So until you actually get it shipped and delivered, you don't have a sale. So this is a little bit of a concern. It may not, looking at the stats, it may not look like it's impacting us, but the reality is it is, and these numbers could have been better.
Yeah, we're all starting to get used, whether we like it or not, to ordering something and then waiting for it, and that's kind of where we're at, right? You can make a sale, but it until you can deliver it, it's not complete.
Exactly right, Mike, and like I said, it's a wide range of commodity products, not just our world of red meat protein. But that being said, the real concern I have as well is that we're starting to see concern out of some key trading partners. You know, like the Japan market and the Korean market, and the list goes on. And one of our, aside from having highest quality and safest products in the world, we have a pretty darn good reputation as a reliable supplier. So, this is definitely putting some of that at risk, without a doubt.
So how long do you see this going? I mean, even if it gets resolved, it would seem to take a while to work through the backlog. So what kind of timetable are you seeing on this?
Well, I think we're unfortunately well into early next year. Hopefully, we get the holiday season this fall behind us, the shipments in for the holiday season, which, like I said earlier, is really the peak time is now through November for the most part. And then hopefully we can see it go back to normal. Now, that's not being said that we're just sitting back and waiting for that time frame to happen. The good news side of things is we are getting more and more traction and visibility on this issue throughout the government as well. And there's been some bipartisan legislation that's been recently introduced called the Ocean Shipping Reform Act of 2021. And this is an attempt to draw attention to these issues and the need for some sort of help, so to speak, to lessen the impact. And, the issues are wide-ranging. We have increasing demurrage and detention charges. We have shipment delays that I mentioned earlier. In some cases, you're looking at 4, 5, 6 week shipment delays. And, of course, the other thing is this is all very inflationary in terms of skyrocketing freight rate costs. It's not just in the U.S., but globally, these freight rate costs are through the roof. And it's bled over into air shipment costs as well for cargo. So this is all a very, very inflationary environment. And hopefully, you know, this bill that was recently introduced focuses on eliminating some of these detention and demurrage charges and drawing some attention to filling some of these outbound, some of this outbound space that is actually leaving the U.S. empty rather than full of some of our cargo. So I think all in all, this is a good move, and hopefully we'll get some visibility in Washington on this issue.
We're talking with Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Dan, I know you are very happy to be able to once again hold your product showcase with more than 130 red meat buyers from 21 countries across Central and South America and the Caribbean. As you gathered together recently, to have that back again was a big step, wasn't it?
It sure was, yeah. It was our 10th Latin American showcase. The 10th was supposed to happen last year. Of course, due to COVID, we had to delay it. But we did pull it off a week ago down in Costa Rica, and almost 350 people there. And the feedback in the last week from members and exporting members and the buyers was really very positive. So there's pent-up demand to get together and do business in person, and we know day-to-day the situation changes globally, but it certainly was nice to be back in person for that event.
And the significance of that, Dan, I talk about this a lot because one of the things I've noticed over the years in working with you and folks at U.S. Meat Export Federation and a lot of the other groups that are working on market development, you see the importance that these other countries place on face-to-face encounters and building relationships. And you can do some of that through Zoom and other technology, but nothing's like that face-to-face interaction, right?
Exactly right, Mike. You know, Zoom and Teams, and we've learned a lot the last 18 months on how we can stay connected virtually. But you're right, it does not replace the social interaction. And it's no different than a lot of your listeners out there that do business in the agricultural community. You're probably not going to buy and sell with folks that you don't know very well. It's no different with buyers around the world. And that's really the beauty with having, we had 150 buyers from 21 countries in Costa Rica for a two-day event. So there's also the economies of having them together in one place like that, where our exporters can see 150 buyers in 2 days. If you were to visit them in person to their countries, it'd take you 2 months. So, you know, there's some other advantages of doing it as well. But, yes, you're exactly right. This is a relationship business, agriculture, and our part of the business is no different.
You still feel good that we'll close out the year on a high note with our meat exports?
I do. Demand, you know, we talked about a lot of negatives in the last minute or so here on this shipping situation, but the bottom line is that demand is strong, demand is growing, and it's pretty broad-based around the world. So, much better than I thought it would be. If you'd asked me this question a year ago during when COVID was really getting going initially, I wouldn't have been as optimistic. But that part of the business, we're pretty upbeat on.
And I think the key of what you said there, the demand is broad-based. That means we're not relying upon just one market.
Exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. You look at the beef side, you have 8 or 9 markets that are all pretty solid and strong and growing. Of course, the pork side, last year the discussion was all about China, as you remember, due to African swine fever. Well, China's down this year. We're down about 20%, but we're making it up in 7 or 8 or 9 different regions of the world. So, the diversification aspect of our business is very important, so you're not relying on just one supply chain stream.
Very good. Good to talk with you again, Dan, and enjoy your birthday.
Thank you so much, Mike. My pleasure.
Take care. Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. So as he said, it's going to take a while to get through this West Coast to port backup issue that we've had for some time now, and looks like we will have it right in going through the rest of this year and into the first part of next year.